BBC Radio Devon. Now, big question for you. Is Christianity a delusion? Well, how about this one then? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Now, especially in this particular week, two questions which evangelist and public speaker Andy Bannister liked to tackle, the author of the wonderfully titled How to Talk About Jesus Without Looking Like an Idiot, has been in Devon this week, speaking to students and church members, and the initiation of Mark Oliver, pastor of Plimstock Chapel, and they both join us in the studio now. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Rick.
These are big questions, aren't they? Andy, how did this interest in the particularly difficult question arise?
So for me, Rick, it kicked off that I was born and raised in a Christian home, but that faith really didn't become my own until my teens. And then in my kind of late 20s, I was living in London at the time, and I began going up to a place in London called Speaker's Corner, part of Hyde Park London.
Yeah,
where you can sort of talk about anything and get a crowd. And I really ran across people who didn't share my faith for the first time and began getting involved in dialogues and debates, particularly with atheist friends, Muslim friends. And that really forced me to begin thinking my own faith through and reading and studying, and that was a journey that eventually led to getting a doctorate in philosophy. But what that love also did for me is it gave me a love of questions. I loved engaging with people's questions. The tougher the better, because I can't think of anything more exciting than talking about the big questions of life, even if you don't know the answer, talking about the big questions of life. So yeah, that's where I got the bug. Hyde Park Corner, up a ladder.
Well, I was going to say, did you actually have a genuine soapbox?
But I had a ladder.
Oh, yeah, ladder.
They've
all
moved
right.
on from soapboxes to step ladders because it's a bit more robust and lighter as well
tube. I mean, there's always that thing, isn't there? Never discuss religion, sex and politics and those kind of questions.
Yeah.
Certainly at a dinner party, let alone anything else. Were you ever embarrassed about raising those topics? And I mean, questions, especially in a kind of Christian community, you sort of say, did Jesus really rise from the dead? That, I mean, that's kind of fundamental.
Well, inside the church, what sometimes happens is the church doesn't encourage people to ask its questions. And that can be devastating, because I know lots of young people who've grown up and walked away from faith because they felt they couldn't ask their questions. So I love to see churches be places where questions are welcome. But then outside the church, what I found, Rick, I think lots of people have questions, but like you say, feel embarrassed to ask them. Mm. We've sort of been taught, you must never ask these questions. And if you can get past that embarrassment and create spaces where people can do that. So the organization I lead, we do loads of events in places like pubs, curry houses, coffee shops, schools, universities, getting the conversation outside the four walls of the church. And when you sort of create the possibilities, people love the questions. And then, by the way, one other thing, immigration has changed this a bit, because people coming from societies different to ours, where talking about faith is more normal. So I love talking with Muslims. For example, it's not difficult to start a conversation about faith with my Muslim friends, because many of them have come from originally, or their families have, countries where religion is much more front and centre. And they find the UK a bit kind of buttoned up on these things, actually. So I love the fact that diversity has changed the conversation too.
We've been talking off air about what, you know, you've kind of moved down from Scotland.
I have
you?
Moved down from Scotland, that's right, yeah.
Do these conversations and the way people approach them change from different parts of the country? I mean, you're saying, London is obviously a very much more culturally diverse part of the world than this. So are people very different?
Yeah, absolutely. Very good point. I mean, certainly in Scotland, right, you go to the big cities, big city culture feels similar. So, you know, Edinburgh, Glasgow, London, Manchester, Liverpool, those kind of places, big multicultural melting pots. Go more out to the rural parts of things. Again, I think people are willing to have the conversation, Rick, but they can be a bit more reticent. So what I learned in Scotland, right, you have to earn people's trust. You have to invest a little bit, come back time and time again, slow things down a bit. And even here, where I've been with Mark the last few days in Plymouth, I mean, you go to the university, people are straight in there. Students have questions, they want to talk. You go to some of the sort of older communities, people want to get to know you a little bit before they're willing to open up. But yeah, it does change depending where you go.
Are there any common questions? And in terms of being here in Devon, what's the most interesting or challenging question you've been asked?
Well, by far the most interesting question we had was, I did an event down at the university on Friday looking at the evidence for the resurrection. So my PhD is in history, so I love history. So I walked the students through the incredible historical evidence for the resurrection, got to the Q&A, some great questions. But then one question, somebody asked, where does the Holy Grail fit into all of this, which I
just thought. Monty Python film.
Well, I nearly went that route. I was very tempted to go, bring me a shrubbery, and yes. I will give you the answer.
Yes.
No, so that was interesting, because with every question, Rick, the challenge is you need to take it seriously. You mustn't make a joke, because you don't know why someone's asked it. So I had to sort of rapidly think through what I vaguely knew about Arthurian myth and legend, but also make the point of going, that's a story. That's a you know, French romance that the English have adopted in terms of our mythology, whereas we're dealing with first century history and the resurrection. So separating those two things. But then I landed on Indiana Jones, actually, is where I landed.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
And then the other big question that comes up a lot, and actually, you know, with what's gone on in the news in the last few days with Catherine and so on, has been the question of suffering. That's probably one of the most common questions. Why is there suffering? Why is the world such a crazy mixed up place? We did an event on that last night at Mark's church, and it was great. Have some friends there who are not Christians who brought their questions. Great.
Mark, what's been the reaction?
I think, like Andy says, that when people actually get the opportunity to ask, it's really appreciated. So, yeah, whether we're looking at curriculum stuff in, we've been in Plymouth School with Coombe Dean students as well up at Ivy Bridge, and we're sort of wrestling with the problem of evil. And, yeah, young people really get into it. We've spoken to a lot of young people over the last few days. So there's good reaction. And I think especially when people get those things they've really struggled with, like the questions of suffering, or the questions of, you know, what about all the other religions? How does it all work together? And people have been thinking about it. And Andy just has this gift of very clearly being able to tease out some of the things that can really help us. So there's a lot of appreciation when it's taken seriously and people get that opportunity.
So when someone like Andy's come in and sort of started, I mean, is it a case of he's started the ball rolling and now people feel empowered that they can now ask their own questions that perhaps until this point they hadn't thought?
I hope so. Yeah, I hope it stirs things up. I hope, yeah, a lot of the idea of Andy coming down is, you know, the contacts we make, the opportunities that it gives where we can continue these conversations, because we all want to talk about the big stuff of life. And we're like Andy said at the beginning, we're not very good at it sometimes. Mm. You know, we talk about the weather, don't we, because we're English. And so it's, yeah, it's really good to get down to, because it really matters, doesn't it? If what we believe as Christians is true, if there is a heaven and a hell at the end, if there's a God who can walk through this life and change everything for us, we really need to be thinking about that and asking those questions.
So. Had you met each other before?
Yeah, we're kind of old friends. We've known each other for several years now. So, this is the second time we've done a sort of tour in Plymouth like this, bringing Andy down. And, yeah, I knew him a few years before that.
Because I was going to say, I mean, was there any kind of concern? Because, you know, as we were just saying, there's a kind of far more maybe traditional feel to here rather than some other parts of the country. So was there this kind of like, oh, gosh, am I opening a can of worms I don't want to here?
Not at all, to be honest. No, really happy to get into this stuff and talk about it. And again, I mean, John, who knew Jesus well, described him as being full of grace and truth, which is really cool. And that's what is the way that Andy presents stuff. So he's got truth, he's got clear answers, but he does it in a really gracious way that just listens to people and where they're at and where they're from. And if you do that, if you don't go in all guns blazing, but, you know, we genuinely want to hear from people what they think and believe and why. And then we share a little bit about what we think and believe and why. And it's a great conversation to have. So I hope it stirs people up to ask these questions more.
And you've got your own beliefs and your own views on everything.
Quite everything.
when you meet someone who's got equally strong views on their own religious convictions, how do you, I mean, because it is, I was not going to say it's about compromise, but it's about finding that kind of common ground, really, isn't it? How do you deal with that? Because there is, in these, you know, we've got so many, you know, really, really kind of violently convicted, or, you know, people with convictions. How do you deal with that when they are kind of probably quite anti you?
Oh, my word, that's such a great question. Well, the first thing I think I would say is one of the challenges we have in society right now is how we learn to live together when everyone's got strong convictions, because everyone has strong convictions about something. And I think one of the myths that is often put out in our society is that unless we can sort of level the playing field and have everybody affirm that they've largely believed the same thing, that we can't get on together. I think that's never going to work. What we have to do is learn to go, I've got strong convictions, you've got strong convictions. convictions, but we can listen to each other, hear each other. We don't even have to disagree, actually. Some of my best friends are people that I disagree profoundly with, but we've learned to listen to each other. So that's the first thing, is to recognize we don't all have to agree to be friends. Secondly, I always want to slow down and find out what people believe. And in that book that you mentioned at the start, I teach four questions that are great for conversations. Do you think there's a God? And if so, what is God like? What do you think a human being is? What does it mean to be human? What's gone wrong with the world? And what's the solution? And those four questions are a great framework for conversations, for listening to and fro. And then thirdly, I would say, yes, I believe there's truth out there. I mean, in the world of religions, as in the world of maths, for example, 2 + 2 = 4. It's not 9, 3037 or some other random number. And in the world of religious truth too, you know, the claims that Islam makes, the claims that Christianity makes, the claims that atheism makes can't all be true. So we need to recognize that, yes, we may argue and discuss and dispute and have strongly held opinions, but there is truth out there, and I think truth to be found. But sometimes truth takes work to get to.
Okay, brilliant. Well, listen, thanks so much for coming in, guys, this morning.
Thank you
really
for
interesting.
Having us.
Hopefully we've started a conversation which I think is going to go on, and at least we know we do definitely want a shrubbery.
Absolutely.
And you, Mark, thank you so much for your time this morning. Thank you.